time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George. Brad Mihelko played a couple of years with the Prince George Cougars, 95 and 96, and the memorable one of 96-97. But actually, Brad, you started your career with the Lethbridge Hurricanes and came to BG in a trade. Talk about that.
Yeah, you're right, Hartley. That's exactly what happened. I was on my third season in Lethbridge, and right at the deadline, I got a phone call and was told that I was traded to BC up in Prince George. And lo and behold, I made my way up there. And, you know, we had a tough end of the season that year, but then the next year, we really enjoyed myself.
So what was all the players that were involved in that deal? Because Lethbridge went on and had some success after they made the deal. You had some success, not that season, but the following season. But refresh our memories about who's involved in that trade.
Yeah, so it was myself and Dennis Mullen from Lethbridge went to Prince George for a guy by the name of Colin Cloutier and Martin Honenberg. And like I say, the deal was made right at the deadline, and I think Lethbridge was trying to size up, and they got a couple of really good players, and they're bigger guys, and I think it really paid off for them because, like you say, they went on to the Memorial Cup the next year.
So you finished with Prince George that season with 23 games and then 58 games the next season, 134 penalty minutes, 66 points in 81 games total with the PG Cougars. And, of course, everything comes down to the memories of 96-97. Before we talk about that, recently you ran into one of your old buddies from that team that's still playing.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. So one of the guys that I do keep in touch with is named Dennis Mullen, you know, the guy that I got traded with. And we see each other probably not as often as we should, but anyways, Dennis was Zdeno Chara's defense partner, and the two of them stay in touch over text and phone call and whatnot. But long story short, I'm working downtown Calgary in the energy sector, and I just finished up a meeting, and I'm walking through the lobby of the Westin, and lo and behold, I run into a guy named Dennis Polonich, the old GM of the Cougars when I was there, and I'm talking to him, and bent over signing an autograph is Zdeno Chara. So long story short, he gets finished doing what he's doing, and he sees me, and we haven't seen each other in 20 years. And, obviously rekindle right there on the spot. He lets me know that him and Dennis are going to be hanging out for an hour or so at lunchtime. And so I went back after met them up around lunchtime and hung out with them on a day off. And then Dennis and I went down after the game with a bunch of younger hockey players, and they all got to meet him and take some pictures with him. It was pretty funny story.
And Zdeno recognized you right away, being teammates from just that one season way back in 96-97.
Isn't that wild? The first thing he says to me is, "I haven't seen you in 20 years." And he was exactly right. I was playing for Team Canada in 99-2000. I was fortunate enough to be one of the four or five guys that got to go over to the World Championships in St. Petersburg, Russia. And sure enough, the second wave of NHL players came to Team Canada, and I was sent home. Well, the day I'm sent home, I'm in an elevator in the hotel, and the door opens, and there's Ronald Petrovicki and Zdeno Chara of Team Slovakia standing there. So we all had a good chuckle, talked for a brief minute. I went up and got my bags and was on the next flight home, and I haven't seen those guys ever since. And like I say, Zdeno, the very first thing he says to me is, "I haven't seen you in 20 years, and it was in St. Petersburg, Russia." So funny that, memories live with a guy for a long time, and man, oh man, just talking and hanging out with the He hasn't changed a bit. To see what that man has done over the past 22, 23 seasons is absolutely remarkable, and I couldn't be more happier for him.
A lot of great players on the 96-97 team, yet he is still going. Could you possibly have imagined that would be the one guy that could still be into his 40s and still effective?
Yeah, it is absolutely an anomaly. He's a complete freak of nature. Obviously, we all know how big he is and how strong he is and how dedicated he is, and that all plays into it. But for him to, like you say, to still be playing at 43 and to still be absolutely effective. Like, I watched him play against the Flames that night, and, you know, I haven't seen him play live for years and years and years. So I watched him, and I mean, he's still got enough jump. He still plays. He's very effective out there. So, you know, I just feel fortunate to be able to say that I got to play with him when we were younger, and, you know, it's a complete honor to still know him and to still be able to have, some good chuckles about the old days.
Okay, so you and him are getting together briefly in Calgary. What are you discussing for that short period of time? Are you talking about the PG Cougars? You know, what kind of discussion do you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. To be super honest and quite frank with you, he's pretty concerned about the next phase of his life. He is genuinely concerned about what retirement looks like. You know, he said to us, you know, I've been told where to be and when to be there for the last 28 years of my life, kind of thing. I've always been on somebody else's schedule. You know, he loves his family. He loves his children. But, you know, I don't think he wants to be a babysitter. So he is absolutely very interested in what Dennis and I had to say about, you know, what's life after hockey like. And, you know, it's one of those things is to say, you know, who am I to give him advice on what he's done over the years. But I did say to him, I mean, whatever you're going to do, you make sure you're the boss of it. So, you know, I think he's going to be obviously better than fine away from the rink, but I think he is concerned as to, you know, period of time where he's going to have to adjust and not be on somebody else's schedule.
Well, you actually played up until 08-09 in the East Coast Hockey League, and you played in a lot of leagues. We're going to get into that. But what was the finality like for you, knowing the time was coming at that particular point? I mean, you were only, you know, 30, 31, 32, and you knew that was going to be it for hockey, and how were you able to adjust?
Yeah, Hartley, you know what, it definitely was a major adjustment for myself. You know, even, you know, a guy that played a career in the minors, you still are doing very similar things to what the NHL guys are. You know, the day in, the day out, the grinding, the training, and all of that still comes with it. And it was a big adjustment for myself. You know, I wasn't fortunate enough to be able to walk away when I wanted to. I was actually planning on playing another year over in Finland, but my body wouldn't allow that. I had had my fourth shoulder surgery and it didn't go well. The surgeon then said to me, hey, I think you have to have a major total reconstruction of your right shoulder. And at that point, you can definitely not play or be hit again. So, you know, I was kind of forced into walking away from it, and I was completely clueless as to what I was going to do. We came back to Calgary just because my wife had worked in Calgary prior to traveling with me, and she was able to go back to a familiar job and secure employment right away. And like I say, I had another surgery and walked around in a sling for a good 4 months. And then was fortunate enough to find some work as a sales guy in the energy sector here in Calgary. And before you know it, 1 year's turned into 11 real quick.
That's a tough business right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's not only right now, but it's, you know, the last 5-6 years have been a real roller coaster in the city of Calgary. You know, it's day in, day out. It is definitely a grind right now.
You talked about four shoulder surgeries. When did that shoulder first become a problem? Were you healthy in PG? And then, you know, you played a lot of years, one surgery, then another. At what point did it just get worse and worse and worse? And are you fully healthy today, or do you still notice it at age 43?
Well, I'll start with the age 43 because that's the day-to-day. Am I healthy? Absolutely not, 100%. Am I comfortable? Yes. Can I swing a golf club? Yes. That's very important to me. But it all started kind of, in Bantam. In AAA Bantam, I separated my shoulder twice. And then in the Western League, I separated again twice. And just the wear and tear at an early age, my body never fully recovered. And the shoulder bugged me my entire career. I can't remember a season where I played from start to finish and was healthy. There isn't one on the books. And that's just one of those things where, you know, you look back at a guy like Zdeno, and obviously he's got injuries and injuries and injuries. But, you know, he's still been able to continue to play and be very, very effective. You know, where I was in a situation where I felt like every time things were starting to really gain momentum or look good or look positive on my career path, I would be set back with something that, I just had to have either months away from the game or just had to deal with being at 60% and trying to play when you're at 60%.
Brad, was that as a result of your style? Yes, you scored some goals, especially as you got older in the league. You put up some points. Your last year at the Calgary Hitmen, you had more than a point per game, but you were a penalty minute guy. You liked to go into the corners. You liked to mix it up. You liked the rough going. Was your physical condition as a result of the style of play that you encountered over your career?
I think you could very easily say that was the case. Obviously, you know, I like to play hard and I like to compete and I like to play with some grit. And that's something I always prided myself on. But you know what? Some bodies just aren't meant for that. And for some reason, my shoulders were just never blessed to be able to take on the wear and tear and the beating that I put them through. You know, I was always joked with in the room from the guys. They said I had shoulders like a brook trout, and that was a problem.
I imagine, like a lot of players in the WHL, you had thoughts of the NHL. You were drafted by the San Jose Sharks, round number 7. In your mind, how close did you get?
I was fortunate enough to, like you say, be drafted. I attended 5 NHL main training camps. And you know what? I did get close, but at the same time, I was never the superstar that was going to kind of have to play the way, you know, play yourself off of a team. I was always kind of the add-in that I was going to have to do something real special to take somebody's job, and I was just never able to do that. I always, talk to guys and they say, oh, right place, right time. And, you know, that is true. But I think the third part of that is right place, right time, and healthy. And I could never, ever line all three of those things together. And I don't regret it or I don't make excuses. Obviously, there's some great players that I was able to play with. And there were some guys that surprised me that went on to have incredible careers in the NHL that you would have never have thought. But I mean, hey, it's taking what you're given and running with it. And I just wasn't fortunate enough to be able to line them all up.
As a 16, you made the Lethbridge Hurricanes. You played there as a 16, 17, and part of 18. And then the last part of 18 and 19, you were in PG. But then your last year in the WHL, you went from the Cougars to Calgary, so that was the second time you had been dealt. What were the circumstances behind that?
So that was a situation where, as a 19-year-old, like you mentioned, I was drafted. I had hopes of playing pro as a 20-year-old. And prior to me going away to camp, Dennis Polonich and I had a good sit-down. And he basically said, hey, You've been up here for a year and a half. The travel up here is incredibly hard. It's not an easy place to play. And he said to me, if you do come back as a 20-year-old, what do you want to do? And I think there's a situation where we had some other 20-year-olds, and I think it just might have kind of made some easier decisions on him also if we all did come back. And so I said to him, you know what, Dennis, it would be great if as a 20-year-old I could have a chance to go play in the Memorial Cup. So get a little deeper into this story. It just so happens that the year after all of this has transpired and I've played a full year in Calgary, I go to the Nashville Predators training camp. And the coach, the assistant coach there, his last name is Peterson. He was the head coach in Portland. And he pulls me aside at camp and he says, hey, you know, your 20-year-old year, we had made a trade for you to come play in Portland. And the deal got nixed like the morning of the trade and you ended up going to Calgary. And that year, sure enough, Portland went on to the Memorial Cup. So I kind of missed my chance a couple of times there just by, you know, I don't know what it was, but it just didn't work out where I, you know, I wasn't in Lethbridge when they went. And I according to the coach, I should have been there for their run to the Cup in Portland also, but it never happened.
The coach must have liked you when you pulled off that big upset in 96-97 in the playoffs.
You know what? I think that was all part of it. I do. I think he saw, you know, a team that was heavily outmatched on paper. The Cougars barely squeaked into the playoffs that year, but we came together and you know, went on a big run there and really enjoyed ourselves and had fun. And I think the city had fun and got behind us. And still to this day, Zdeno Chara, Brad Mihalko, Dennis Mullen sitting in a hotel room in Calgary 25, 28 years later, still laughing and chuckling about it. You know, we enjoyed our time for sure.
What's Dennis Polonich up to? Does he live in Calgary now?
Yeah, so he does. And I believe he was kind of in the player representation ring for a while. I don't know if he still is. I spoke with him briefly. I see him at some Team Canada alumni events around the city. I see him maybe once every two or three years at a golf tournament or something like that. But yeah, I think he's doing well. I think he's still involved in the game to some capacity, but at the same time, I think he's enjoying some time to himself too.
What was it like playing for Stan Butler that one year that he was in Prince George? Of course, after that, he went for a long career and still has been in the OHL, setting longevity records and so on and so forth. And Dennis Polonich, the general manager, what was it like under that regime?
You know what? I really enjoyed it. I think Dennis Polonich brought a lot of fire to the rink. As a general manager, typically in my past, I never really saw the amount of interaction with players as he did. You know, he was down around the locker room and enjoyed it. And I think the players really enjoyed him. And then Stan coming from out east, you know, basically virtually an unknown to us, came in and basically took a team of misfits and got us to all believe in a system and come together and absolutely shocked the socks off of, you know, a lot of the league. So it was great. You know, I to this day, you know, still have a good relationship with both those guys. And if I ever run across either of them in passing, I know I have chatted with both of them at different events over the years. And yeah, great relationships were definitely made then.
You're listening to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Prince George Office Systems, custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George. We are speaking with former Prince George Cougar, Brad Mihalko. Now, Brad, 96-97, I think you've sort of underplayed maybe the talent level of Prince George because the standings showed that you were a huge underdog against Portland, but those that look at the actual roster, when you've got Z and Kiwi and Brewer back there and, you know, Betts up front and a lot of other guys yourself, a lot of other guys that I haven't mentioned yet that have gone on to big, successful careers, Chris Mason, the goaltender, NHL goalie, all that. the talent that you had, when you look at it, maybe the upset wasn't as big when you consider the talent compared to the point difference, where Portland was such at that time considered a big favorite.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think the underrated Chris Mason, you know, the unheard of Zdeno Chara, the young Eric Brewer, the young Betsy, you know, the Tyler Bauk, Ronald Petrovicki, that had been kind of hurt in and out of the lineup all year. Without a doubt, you know, you got a guy like Joel Kwiatkowski. Like, all these guys basically came together towards the end of the year and got healthy, and we got hot, and we got, you know, winning games and rocking and rolling and loving, you know, coming to the rink. And I think we were real close. You know, Patrick Marleau basically single-handedly knocked us out of the playoffs. But I think if we'd have gotten a chance to get by them, we would have given Lethbridge, my old team, a run for their money. And I think it would have been pretty amazing.
And that, of course, is what you were after since the trade had happened. You were thinking, boy, if we can just survive one more round, I'm going to get a shot at the team that dealt me and all that kind of stuff. Of course, it never did quite work out that way. But your last year in the WHL with Calgary, you were on yet another playoff run. Can you compare the playoff run of 97-98 with Calgary compared to the previous year with Prince George?
I think the Prince George run was a little different. It was a little more, I don't know if you want to use the word magical, but I mean, it just was one of those things where, you know, we kind of just slugged away all year, and we just barely squeaked in. And then things really came together at the end of the year. Guys got healthy and guys got, you know, playing together. And it was just something special. You know, Calgary, different scenario. A really weak team the year before. I think they had won like 10 or 11 games. So I get traded there. You know, obviously not real excited about it. It's my last year. I get traded to a team with 10 wins the year before, when I had hopes of getting traded to one of the powerhouses to go on a run. Well, little did I know that Calgary had a bunch of young guys that were really, really, really good players. And they just needed a little bit of belief around what we were doing and what we were capable of. And sure enough, we had a team that, you know, started off really slow, but ended up having 40 wins. And, you know, it wasn't a surprise that we were in the playoffs. So I think the two, you know, had different scenarios, but both were great. At the time, the Calgary Flames were not a very good hockey team. And the city of Calgary really started to get behind the Hitmen. And I mean, there was numerous games that we sold out the Calgary Saddle Dome. And so, you know, as a junior hockey player playing in front of 19, 20,000 people, it was pretty exciting.
Now, you got to, what, the Eastern Conference Final. Can you tell us some of the guys in the Hitmen that we might remember?
Yeah, I think the big names that, you know, kind of went on and continued to play would have been like a Brad Moran, a Boris Protsenko, a young Chris Beach. Brent Dodginghorse was a big name that a lot of people knew. You know, Eric Nielsen, Chris Nielsen. We just had a group of guys that were, you know, all kind of that 17, 18-year-old range that had been around for a while and just hadn't had any success and then turned the corner. So it was pretty fun. You know, I got to play with guys like Sean McCaslin, who I'm still really good buddies with and see on a daily basis in the energy sector. You know, I still stay in touch with the Dean Clarks and the Jeff Mars, the coaches of the team. And again, you know, some great guys that had the ability to lead some young guys and get a team to really buy into things.
Shortly after your junior career, and you touched on it a bit earlier, you had a chance to play with the Canadian national team. Talk about that experience. Talk about how you were picked and all that went with that.
Yeah, so back then when the national team was operating as a program, it was much different than any other experience that I had playing hockey. So they came together for a training camp. You were invited, They went through the selection process just as any other hockey team would. The only thing was is they didn't have a regular schedule. So we would be gone for 3 or 4 weeks. We'd play in tournaments and exhibition games, and then we would come home and train for 3 or 4 weeks. And we did this for the entire hockey year. And the idea was is back in the day, all these guys that were on the national team would do this in preparation for the Olympics. Now, once the NHL guys started coming to the Olympics, the national program was slowly phased out, and I was fortunate enough to play on the last team that was ever operational at in 99-2000. The head coach was Tom Rennie. One of the most memorable years of hockey that, of my career. Just, we played in countries all over the world. We competed in, the Spangler Cups and the Sweden Games and the World Championships and all of these tournaments that are, well-known tournaments. And I was able to enjoy that and travel the world for sure.
Were just your expenses paid, or did you actually collect some kind of a salary with that?
No, actually we were paid, but believe me, Hartley, we weren't taking much home after the end of the season.
No, I bet. And then you went on and you played in a lot of leagues, International League, East Coast, American League, Europe, a lot of leagues, Central Hockey League. Like, you really, over the last 10 years of your hockey career, it seems like you played everywhere.
Yeah, you're right. My only claim to fame is, Hartley, that I think I scored a goal in every professional hockey league in North America, except for the NHL.
Yeah. I don't know. Can anybody else say that?
I don't know. Like you say, I kind of bounced around and chased it for a long time. And I feel like once I kind of realized that, my chance in the American League, I was a part of the New York Rangers system. And that was Tom Rennie who coached me in Team Canada. He had brought me over and, in two seasons there, I had two shoulder surgeries and a blown knee. And once I kind of went through that process, I feel like I realized that, hey, my days are numbered. So let's try to go places that are enjoyable and play for the love of the game and enjoy myself and see the world.
At what point, at what age did you realize the NHL dream just wasn't going to happen?
I think I would have been 24 or 25 in Hartford. Like I say, I was at the right place at the right time, and I could just not keep healthy. I got a chance to be playing with some pretty good players there. I watched all guys around me in the locker room get called up to the Rangers. I was in the mix with that group of guys. I felt like I could play with those guys when I was healthy. And I knew that I could compete at that level, but I, for the life of me, just could not stay out of the trainer's room. Everything from shoulders to knees to concussions to broken hands to scratched cornea, like just weird stuff, it just never ended. Yeah.
Did you think to yourself at any time, why is that guy getting called up and not me?
Well, I think to be super honest, I think every hockey player that isn't in the NHL, has some of that in the back of his mind. I know that, I was super excited for my buddies that got called up and whatnot. But at the same time, you do look around and think, man, oh man, if I had the opportunity, I think I could do the same, if not better in certain situations. But you know what? That's just the game. And there's a lot that goes with that. There, not only what you're doing on the ice, but who you were picked by and when you were picked had a lot to do with things. So, there's some definite political forces in the game of hockey that are very, very real and very true.
What about the role of your agent to land you with all these leagues and teams?
Yeah, I think basically what happened was, Hartley, is when I was young, I was fortunate enough to go with an agency. My agent, his name was Mike Barnett. He was the big guy at the time. He was Gretzky's former agent. He was part of a huge, massive group called IMG. And when I wasn't selected in the first round, like his other 8 or 9 clients that were my age, I was, kind of slowly shifted to the back of the bus and just kind of waited for calls and waited for things and slowly watched him pass me off to his counterparts. And by the time I was 24, I realized that I didn't need an agent. I was doing all that stuff myself.
Right. And I guess that's the tough part. Sometimes you want to go with the big name agent, but often they want to put their time and energy into the big name players.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't blame them. I mean, you know, you've got 6 or 7 first rounders and then you've got myself in the 7th round. Well, I mean, who's paying your mortgage? I know I'm not, because I didn't even sign an NHL contract. So, you know, I totally get it. And just as a young man, it's kind of hard to see and hard to deal with. But I mean, that's all part of, you know, the experiences that I've brought with me today. And they're all things that I wouldn't trade for anything.
You talked about the shoulder surgeries, the leg injuries, but you did mention something else. And I think every former player has had probably numerous of them, as I've talked to a lot of these guys that look back 15, 20 years, and that's concussions. How big of an issue was that for you? And as you look back, do you feel that you played games when you did have concussions?
Partly, I know I did. I know, I think that there was 2 or 3 big ones that were identified by the training staff where I actually missed hockey and missed games and missed time at the rink and was told to stay away and get better. But I think the thing that, you know, looking back is probably the most devastating is all the undiagnosed ones, Harley, where, you know, you just get rocked. You go back to the bench. You tell the coach you need to take a shift or two off, and you legitimately can't see across the ice. I couldn't tell you how many times that happened in my career, you know, and those are all undiagnosed, you know, sitting on the bench just waiting to get your vision back and the cobwebs out so you can get back out there and play. You know, you take a shift or 2 or 3 off, and then things come around and you're back out there. And those are the ones that I think really, really take the toll.
Were there any hits that you recall that stand out above the other, like you're going, oh no, holy smokes, or I can't believe this guy hit that hard, or I'm just so woozy, I don't even know what day it is. Do you recall any of those particular hits or seen them on highlights?
So the one big one that happened to me when I was 17, it was my draft year. We were in Kamloops. I was playing for Lethbridge. My dad, who is a farmer, had some time off in the winters, obviously, and he traveled around and watched us on a lot of our road trips. And I'll never forget this one because he had to tell me what happened, but basically, I dumped the puck in at the blue line, the opposing team's blue line, and the whistle went because it was offside. So I just shot the puck in. So I was kind of on one leg and off balance. The whistle goes, and I didn't tense up. I didn't see anything coming. And Shane Doan at the time was just a beast of a player. He hit me into the boards, and I went in head first. And my dad said the lady sitting 2 or 3 rows in front of him actually got sick because they thought I was dead. So I went in head first, full tilt, absolutely buried me. And I think I missed about 8 weeks. I was not myself. I was woozy. They got me into the shower, and the tile speckles in the shower made me dizzy. I fell down in the shower. I was a mess for quite a while. And at the age of 17, it's your draft year. That really put a damper on things. But that's one hit that I'll never forget. And like I say, I don't remember it. I just am hearing the story secondhand. Yeah.
And of course, everybody remembers Shane Doan, long, lengthy NHL career after a stellar WHL career, and he is known. I mean, he could put points up and all of that. But when he hits you, you remember, or in your case, I guess you don't, but that's because it's so hard.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, he was that big even when he was playing in junior. You know, he was a man playing a kid's game in junior. He was 220 pounds in junior and just an absolute beast. And like I say, I didn't see him coming, didn't hear nothing, didn't see nothing. Next thing I know, I woke up in the hallway and they were trying to take my skates off. And I was telling them I could go back out and play. And needless to say, I didn't play. I think it was 8 weeks.
Your dad must have been very concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was there, so he was able to come down and see that I was, you know, talking and breathing and alive and everything was okay. But yeah, he was pretty concerned for sure. I think to this day he said he's never seen a hit like that ever again, kind of thing.
So you mentioned that your dad was a farmer. Did you grow up on the farm then?
I did. Yeah. So I grew up just outside of Lethbridge, Alberta, and my role was as soon as the hockey season was over, I was back helping dad on the farm until finally I was making enough money where I told him he needed to find a hired man, and I was able to buy a house in Lethbridge. But I do remember, you know, on the farm, riding the tractor, out working and putting a full day in, and then having to drive 45 minutes each way to get into the bigger city of Lethbridge to actually train to be ready to play for the next season. So I remember some long, hard summers, and I think that has stuck with me, and I think that helped me, you know, go through some enduring times throughout the seasons too.
What was that, Enchant, Alberta or somewhere?
Yeah, it's called Enchant, yeah.
Enchant? Yeah, what, right. Population, yeah. Population 2 for the Mahalcos or 4 or what?
Yeah, so I think there's a tiny little school and a mailbox and maybe a corner gas store, but yeah, there wouldn't be much more than 40 or 50 people living in Enchant. It's just all the farming, the community, you know, all the farmhouses from 30, 40 miles would all congregate there to go to school and whatnot.
Well, those that grow up on the farm, they've got the reputation of being the tough kids. And so, you know, that when you consider your career and your toughness and everything like that, it does make sense that you grew up on the farm.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's just guys that have to work hard at an early age. And sometimes you can see that, you know, and I'm not saying that by any means I was some super tough guy, but you know, I played with grit, and I made sure that I worked hard in practice, and I made sure that I worked hard in the games, and that wasn't something that I was not going to do. Nobody was going to outwork me.
So life on the farm, when you're not in school, what was a day like?
So I can vividly remember, you know, getting up early and, you know, at the age of 13, I had, you know, I was driving full-on grain trucks and farm trucks and tractors. And, you know, so from an early age till like I say, I was about 26, I put in some hours where, you know, if there was work to be done, we were a dryline grain farm, and I was helping out, whether, you know, I was helping fix equipment or drive equipment or just on a tractor doing some field work.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously was, you know, I imagine as you look back, you sort of indicated that's sort of where the work ethic comes from and all of that, and it helped you down the road. As you take a look back, all the years you played, all the teams you played, all the leagues you played, is there that one moment that stands out and on a positive, and is there that major disappointment that you still think about today?
Well, let's go with the positive. I think one of the you know, more exciting times that I was able to play with the national team, you know, playing in a big tournament at Christmas time called the Spangler Cup. Just a real, real, really exciting, fun tournament. It's a tiny little town up in Davos, Switzerland that that basically it's their Super Bowl, and the tiny town of 20,000 turns into 60 or 80,000 every year at Christmas time. So being able to compete in that and actually play and you know, have a chance to score and get a couple of points and contribute, that's something that I really, really look back on and with fond memories. And I guess, you know, some disappointing moments or maybe some disappointing decisions that I might have made over my career. I think to this day, I played as a 20-year-old in Calgary. I ended up having a good season. Like I said, I didn't sign with San Jose. And I was at my girlfriend's house in Lethbridge. And I don't know how on earth back then, because we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have email, didn't have any of that. A guy by the name of Craig Button got a hold of me at my girlfriend's house. And he says to me, "Hey, Brad, I know you're not signed with San Jose." He was the head of player development at for the Dallas Stars. And he says, "Hey, Brad, we've got nobody in the minors right now really coming up. I think if you could come to Dallas's camp this year, I think you'd be a mainstay down in the IHL in Michigan. And I think you might be able to really work yourself into a role where you might one day get a chance." And I'm cocky at the time. I'm thinking, "Oh, I just had a good, really good junior year. I've got, a scout from the Nashville Predators telling me that, you know, it's their inaugural season. You got to come to Nashville. You might even make the team, you know." So I tell Craig Button that I'm not interested in playing in the minors, that I'm going to go to Nashville and make the team. Well, so I end up going to Nashville's NHL camp, and I'm one of about 90 guys that were all told the same thing. And I think I might have been there for a week or 10 days, and that was the end of it. And I look back thinking to myself, man, oh, man, if I'd have had somebody say, "Hey, go to this Dallas camp, put some time in the minors, because you're going to play in the minors anyways." You know, but at 20 years old, I had buddies who were playing in the NHL. I had guys that I'd played with in junior, and I've got guys, you know, that have cracked NHL teams, and you just wasn't able to compute it properly. And I think that's one of the decisions that I look back on and think, man, oh man, I wished I would have done something else. But hey, it's one of those things, and you live and learn.
You also decided not to go the school route. What advice would you give those players? We're at this time of the year where seasons are coming to rapidly to a close. For those that don't make the playoffs, it's going to be very, very soon. For those that do, it's going to be soon as well. So a lot of guys are thinking, what is in store if hockey's not there next year, at least at the junior level? With all your experiences now, what would you say?
Yeah, I would strongly encourage anybody who's got the opportunity to potentially go play hockey and get your schooling at the same time. I would highly suggest it. I mean, everybody thinks that they're going to play in the NHL, but the fact of the matter is very few of us actually do. It's a select group. If you have the opportunity to still play the game and enjoy the game, but in addition to get your schooling, I think it would set people up, later on in life. Absolutely. It would make the whole job quest when things are all done a lot smoother, a lot easier. I would highly suggest it.
And as we take a look, you mentioned golf and how important it is. And of course, the PG Cougars with the Spirit of the North Alumni Charity Tournament that has become more successful each and every year. Talk about the golf and coming back to PG.
Yeah, I think the golf is just something that kind of goes hand in hand with hockey players, and it's something I've always really, really enjoyed, and it's something that I continue to do and love. I miss the competition of hockey, so I think that, you know, when you get a chance to get out with some buddies and compete in a round of golf. I think it's something that gets the juices flowing for me, and I just love it. I have been fortunate enough to have the time to come back to the PG alumni tournament the 1 year. With work, it makes it a little tough, but I definitely enjoyed what they were able to offer, and I love to see what they're doing. And I know, you know, Tyler Bruff, an ex-player that I got a chance to play with, is a big part of gathering guys and trying to get, you know, a good group of guys to go out each and every year, which I'm sure can't be easy. But, you know, anytime you can go play a round of golf and have some sort of charity aspect behind it and to support something, I think it's amazing.
Do you have any ties to hockey right now in terms of coaching or your family or anything in terms of playing still, or are you completely out of hockey now?
Well, when I first got into the energy sector, Hartley, I realized that Calgary was very unique. There is lunchtime hockey at pretty much every arena during the winter, pretty much every day of the week too. And what it is a lot of oil and gas service companies might put together a skate where they have clients out. And so I was able to go out and go to these lunchtime hockeys and go to, you know, two or three different oil and gas leagues and network and meet a lot of people. And that's really how I got my foot in the door in the energy sector here in Calgary. And it's very unique because I don't think that happens in many other cities. So it was one of these things where I was able to go out, you know, and do something that I love and just go out and kind of dial it back and enjoy myself and meet people and network. And now it's gotten to the point where at 43, things come a little bit slower and it's a little harder for me to drag my hockey bag around in the back of my truck. And I definitely don't play hardly any hockey anymore at all.
All right, Brad, we've really appreciated all your time. It's great reminiscing. Any stories that maybe we missed or something that I didn't bring up that, you know, you, as you look back on hockey or life, your career, that possibly to pass along as well?
I think I look back and consider Prince George, a short period of my life or a short period of my career, but very enjoyable. I had some amazing billets in Prince George, the Benazics, Cal and Gloria. You know, they treated me like one of their own. You know, I met some amazing guys on that team that I'm still friends with. You know, just the bond that was formed up in Prince George, I think just because we were a team that, you know, on paper, after it was all said and done, you know, maybe was stacked. But in the beginning, boy, oh boy, we sure didn't play like it. And for us to kind of all come together that year and go on a good run and have the support of the city, boy, it was sure fun. And I'll always remember it for sure.
As we get closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs, I guess you cheer for the Bruins because of the Chara connection?
Oh, 100%. Boy, oh boy, if I could see him lift the cup one more time before he was done, that would be amazing. Absolutely.
Appreciate your time and all the best to you.
Okay, thanks, Hartley. Appreciate it.
Brad Mihalko played for the Prince George Cougars during the 95-96 and 96-97 seasons. You've been listening to CAT Scan, brought to you by Prince George Office Systems. Custom business solutions for your print, scan, and copy needs on the corner of 5th and George.